Good evening and welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Hockey Podcast. My name is Andrew Dewhurst, and I'm joined by my special guest this evening, Mr. George Kurtz. If you want to say hello, George, and let everyone know about the abundance of work that you do.
Mr. George Kurtz, oh, you got to like that. I'm rotoexperts.com. You can read my writings there. I write about hockey twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays, although on Fridays sometimes it's on Sports Grid. You can also catch me on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY, Sunday mornings from 9 to 12. I'm pretty much all over the place. It's hard to miss me. I do NHL Breakdown with Scott Levy on Block Talk Radio, and that's on Mondays and Fridays from 2 to 3 Eastern.
Excellent. Always happy to have someone as busy as yourself on, George. So let's get into it so we're not cutting into too much of your valuable time. So we got a fairly short player list this week. First guy we've got to talk about is Joe Pavelski. What are your thoughts on Joe Pavelski at this point in the season, George?
Well, I don't think it's hard not to deny that he's been disappointing this year, both the fantasy and the sharp. We expected goals, which is about now it's coming close to what he's done in the past. It may be because Joe Thornton was coming up the ACL tear, so maybe he got up to a slow start. It really wasn't up to speed of Pavelski. Pavelski's age just isn't the same player he used to be, but I don't think it's any denying that we expected more from a guy who's ADP was around second, third round here. I know I've got him in the league, and nothing he can do. You have to start him. He's a wing. If he was a center generally is deeper. You may be able to move around a little bit, but at wing, you're pretty much stuck. There just aren't enough wings to go around as it is. So Pavelski, certainly disappointing. He is playing better of late. He has 4 goals in his last 4 games. Better late than never here. It could also make life interesting now that Brent Burns hasn't put at wing until Thornton's out. Thomas Hertl is out. So they've moved Brent Burns to wing with Pavelski. Maybe that'll light a fire under him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Pavelski's it's been a pretty disappointing season for him. And I think that's putting it mildly. 42 points, 57 games certainly isn't what you're buying on draft day. He's a guy that I think looking forward though to next year is probably going to provide a much better value. The reason I think I'm willing to speculate on that is his 8.9% shooting percentage is, I think, largely responsible for him being so far below his typical goal totals. I mean, that's about 2.5-3% lower than it was last year. 2% lower than his career, or 3% lower than his career average. So I think there's lots of room for him to bounce back. I mean, obviously he'll do well to hit the 20 goal mark this year. But I don't think he's getting back anywhere close to 70 or 80 points that we've seen the 2 previous years. I mean, I guess I'm a little bit biased. I've always kind of been a Joe Pavelski guy. Back when, even when Thornton and Marleau were superstars, but I guess I don't see that changing so much. I just think there's some reason to be optimistic with him bouncing back. Playing tons of minutes right now. He played 25 minutes the other night against the Coyotes, 20 minutes against Arizona or Anaheim the night before. So I think there's reasons to look forward to what Joe Pavelski might offer you in the future.
If you trade deadline your fantasy league, you think about acquiring him. He's not going to cost you full price, so you may be able to get him as little as 75 cents on the dollar. He's a player, I would agree with you, that I'd probably look into acquiring, hoping that he turns into the Pavelski of old, because this sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, 29 goals last year, 38 the year before, 37, 41. All of a sudden, you mentioned it. He might not hit 20. He's certainly not going to hit 25. So that's a big drop off that really no one expected. Also, his defensive game has taken a hit. -7 this year when he's been at always plus double digits. Throughout his career, the playing time will probably increase, at least in the short term, because the Sharks need to score goals. They needed to acquire a wing before Thornton got hurt. And now they lost Thornton. Now a Hurdle may be out for a little bit as well here. They're in trouble on offense here. So if I can get Pavelski for a discount, I'll take him.
Yeah. I can't imagine why not. The next guy on our list tonight, I don't think anyone's getting a discount on. And that's Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner's been white hot as of at least as of the last couple weeks. 6 points in three games last week. Had a 5-point night, and I think he had added another 3 points again last night. Any thoughts on why Marner's had been so up and down this year?
Well, you know, young player, so let's not forget that. This is not a grizzled veteran here. It's a second full season in the NHL. Some guys it takes longer to figure it out than others. He's only 20 years old. You mentioned it. We probably, and I say, when I say we, I mean the fantasy community, you know, we want more. We're greedy. We always want more, 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 more. And we expected more. And, you know, this is a team that, let's face it, they're pretty much, they play a wide open game. You know, defense is really not their game. They let up a ton of shots there. They're expected to score goals here. So they're going to play that wide open offensive game, sort of a running gun here. So I think we want more from Marner, and we're sort of getting it now. You mentioned 3 goals, 5 assists his last 8 games. You know, the last 3 games. So he's got, 8 points the last 3 games. So he's certainly turning it on now. And that's not it. He's got 8 goals in his last 12 games. So this is not just a little hot streak here. It's a 12-game streak here where he's putting the puck in the net. He's a guy you certainly want to buy. But I'll say this. When it comes to fantasy, I mentioned with Pavelski, centers are deep. So if you were looking to acquire him, I mean, listen, if it's a dynasty league, a keeper league, that's different. But in a redraft league, I'm not going to go overboard here and pay for Mitch Marner. I like him. I do. But I don't know if he's going to be the kind of player that's going to lead to a championship this season. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs, good team. They're going to be involved right in the mix, even to possibly win the Atlantic Division. They'll be right there with Boston, right there with Tampa Bay. But I just don't see him leading you to a championship. Am I starting him if I have him? Sure. But if someone's dangling him on my Jaguar, I'm not saying I wouldn't acquire him, but I don't want to pay full price. I certainly don't want to pay overpriced. Center is deep. Odds are you're just as good at what you have here. Unless you think this hot streak is going to continue for the rest of the season, it could. But 12 goals in 8 games, he may be at the end of that streak now.
Yeah. I think his hot streak largely coincides with getting paired more with Austin Matthews. A large part of his lack of production this year has been playing for Mike Babcock. So, I mean, Mike Babcock isn't afraid to take young players and sit them down on the fourth line. And he spent weeks there earlier in the year. And even just looking at his ice time numbers this week, you know, a couple of 15.5-minute games. So it means he's not playing top line minutes. So, I mean, he's got to make the best out of the time he's getting because he's not going to see the most ice time. Even in games where Toronto's scoring 5, 6, 7 goals. So, I mean, I totally agree. If you're talking about a redraft league, I'm not sure it's going to be necessarily be worth paying the freight. Always worry about young guys, you know, getting a little bit tired at the end of the year. If we're talking about a dynasty league, I guess it'd be hard to imagine anybody actually selling on Marner, given that he's 20 years old and he's already got a 60-point season under his belt. So you're going to pay a pretty hefty cost there as well, I expect.
I would agree. I mean, once again, this kid is really he's not going to be in the Austin Matthews elite level, but he's not going to be that far away either. Toronto's going to have some interesting decisions to make. Because all these guys are pretty much going to be need to be re-signed at the same time, which means Austin Matthews, you know, is going to get it, what, 10, 12 million a year on a 7-year, whatever he wants. He's going to get an 8-digit contract there. Guys like Condrey, they're coming up. Marner's coming up. Nylander's coming up. You know, we know JVR is probably gone after this season because they can't re-sign all of these guys. Toronto pretty much, when they signed Patrick Marleau, they pretty much stated, we're going for broke. Yeah, because Marleau is going. Listen, he's a nice player, but he's not worth the money he's making now, and he's going to cost you other players. So by starting Marleau, you were going, you know, going to broke this season, maybe next season. I wonder if this is a team that could be in play for Ryan McDonough. You know, I think that's going to be a key for them to get to solidify the defense. They can score goals. We know that. Frederick Anderson, he's certainly not an elite goaltender, but he's a good goaltender. He can win you a Stanley Cup. It's all about the defense there, and you know, not too many Ryan McDonoughs come along. And I want Toronto will be a big player for this, realizing, you know, we have over a year, 2 years that we have to win here. So I do wonder if Toronto becomes that major player for McDonough. They made a minor trade today, but the trade means nothing as far as NHL, we're concerned, fantasy world. But in the NHL, you can only have 50 contracts. The trade they made today got them down to 49. So now they can acquire another contract, and they can make other deals, too, to do the same thing. So I wonder if Toronto realizes that their window as far as when you have these veterans is small. You know, JVR, Marlowe, Kadri, before some of these guys have to go because these. And I wonder if they go for broke this season and acquire a Ryan McDonough.
Yeah, I mean, it could definitely be in the cards. There's lots of room on their defense corps for a guy like Ryan McDonough. And they've got the cap space. I just wonder how much, like, so I live in the, like, near the Toronto market, so I get this, a lot of this talk locally. I would wonder if a Kasperi Kapanen is going to be a package centered around that would be enough to get you McDonough. I doubt that it would. I would assume you'd probably need to be throwing in, you know, a first round pick. I don't think, you know, when I think about who, you know, what the spare parts are, I mean, you're probably not moving. I don't think you're going to move Marner, at least not yet. Although I could see that being a future part that gets moved. Because there is some concern about his size, and that was the concern for with him on draft day. Not a lot of depth on defense that you're going to move. I mean, it's all forward prospects, and most of those are sitting on their current roster right now. So I've heard certainly plenty of talk of, you know, Kapanen could be their equivalent of a big move on trade deadline. And that's not a great move when if you're going to go for it because he doesn't have any experience. And largely, it's a roster that lacks playoff experience. So I hadn't thought about McDonough going there, but I think there's a case to be made.
Yes, I live in the New York market. So McDonough's not definitely going to be traded. Well, we know the Rangers, they sent out that letter. They're going to make all these trades. We know Grabner's gone. Rick Nash is going to be gone. Those guys in last year, their contract moves for the Rangers there. If they want him back, they could sign him until July 1st in free agency. McDonough is a guy who we think the Rangers would have to be blown away to trade. And they might be, because you and I both know NHL during NHL trade season, these kinds of defensemen generally aren't available all that often. You know, McDonough could make any one of a number of teams better. He could make Toronto better. He could make Tampa Bay better. We can go on and on and on down the list. Every team you look for, I should say every team, but most teams need a top four defenseman, and McDonough can all use a number two. So I think his name will come up a lot, but I think the Rangers know this as well. Plus, he can still play for the Rangers. He's not the last year of his contract. So he's still there. So the Rangers, I think, would have to be blown away. Where, as far as Nash and Grabner are concerned, I think the Rangers will take the best offer they get. I think McDonough, they need to be blown away. They're not going to take the best offer. It has to be the offer they want. And I think if it was Toronto, I think it would start with Kapanen and go from there. And then Toronto may not want to pay that price. You know, maybe it's multiple number ones. Maybe it's a number one and another prospect. You know, maybe it's Barako, Wool, someone like that has to go as well. Or maybe they are going to talk Mitch Marner. You don't know how people are going to think about this. And I don't think Toronto would do that. I don't think they're taking any assets from the team this season.
Yeah, I agree. Although, you know, the more I think about it, I think there's a lot of logic there. Defensemen of McDonough's caliber aren't coming around every day. And Toronto needs it. Like, I think we can all agree that, you know, you're not going to win 7-5 16 times in the playoffs, right? It's not going to work. And, like, you can't put Freddie Anderson in front of 40 shots a night all through multiple rounds of a playoff and expect to be successful. Especially when your backup's Curtis McElhinney. Like, that's not going to get it done in the playoffs. So I wouldn't be entirely surprised. I mean, Mike Babcock's not known for necessarily being a running gun style guy. He likes possession hockey. And we've seen him with enough talent, especially in international hockey, be very happy to win 1-0 or 2-1. So, I think that's definitely an interesting move. And I would wonder, I think it'd be tough to move Marner. You'd have to kind of dig through it. I'd certainly, a guy like Jeremy Bracco would be no problem for them to move. Maybe there is enough prospect depth left that's not on the NHL roster today, but you know, if you have to give up a couple first to cement a defenseman, and not only are you getting 2 years worth, but you're also getting first crack at negotiating that next contract as well.
Yeah, well, like I said, if I'm Toronto, I just think they're, I don't want to say their window overall, because with Austin assuming you keep Marner, your window's not going to close. But like I said, JVR, I think, is certainly gone. Patrick Marleau, not gone, not with the contract, but his effectiveness is limited. So I just wonder if they, if this really pushes them to acquire McDonough, a player they also need. You and I both know Toronto defense, not the best. You know, they can certainly use a stay-at-home defenseman in Ryan McDonough there. It's fun to speculate. Like I said, I don't think McDonough is a definite to be traded by the Rangers. I think they do have to get blown away, or that, you know, the offer is what they want. Well, I'll say it again, Grabner and Nash, they'll trade for the best offer they can get. Even if it doesn't seem sound like it's all that great, speculate here that Nash is going to get a nice price. But I think McDonough is only if the Rangers can't turn this down. And if I'm the Rangers, I'm trying to play it out there. I want to see if I can get a bidding war between a few teams here. So I do wonder if the Rangers are going to be able to get the price that they want from McDonough.
And now a message from our sponsor. If you like betting, I have the deal for you. Eli Rosenfeld of Vertex Betting is one of the best in the business. And unlike many betting information sites, he gives away all of his info for free. There's no risk, no signups, no money needed to get the best betting insight in the business. Go check out vertexbetting.com and see why it beats out all the other sites out there. And if you want to try out betting for the first time, click on Bet Now link and sign up for MyBookie and or XBet with a $45 deposit, and you'll get a $50 rebate from Vertex Betting. Just tell Eli from Vertex that FWFB or Justin Mason sent you for a $50 rebate on a $45 deposit.
Speaking of players that were part of big trades, Taylor Hall is our next guy. Taylor Hall got moved to the Devils 2 years ago now, 2 summers ago. It's gotten hot. It's had a pretty good year this year for the Devils. Been a big part of their resurgence. I don't think 80 points is ever coming back again for Taylor Hall without a significant upgrade in the supporting cast. But do you think Taylor Hall's worth looking at to pick up the rest of the way?
I don't see how anybody would be trading Hall in your fantasy league. I mean, maybe they have a much deeper wing than most of us are. He's been fantastic this season. I mean, he really has 23 goals, 36 assists. You know, you could want. I mean, 6 power play goals. Okay, we'd like a few more power play goals. We are greedy. But he's hot now. Came back from, he got hurt. Just got hurt a little while ago. What, about 2 weeks ago? We all got scared. Right on the All-Star break, that we thought the injury might be serious and he's going to be out, let's just say, longer than 3 games. So I was very happy to see him come back. And not only did he come back, but he's played so well. I mean, I don't know what else you could want from a Hall this season. That Devils team is not loaded with offensive talent. It's not. I mean, you have a couple of nice players there, but he's doing this really all by himself. This is the kind of team, it's sort of, we'll make that comparison. I think with Taylor Hall, like I say, he's done everything you could want here. He's having, in my mind, maybe the best season of his career when you consider who he's playing with. He's got 6 goals last 8 games, 5 assists to go along with it. I mean, he's piling up points here. What I was going to say is, I think if the Devils make the playoffs, this is a team that'll be shut down pretty easily, because I worry about the Boston Bruins are the same thing. The Boston Bruins have a great first line, maybe the best top line in hockey, in Pastrnak, Bergeron, and Bergeron. They're scoring points, and Brad Marchand as well. They're scoring points whenever they want, but that's all they have. And those lines can be shut down in the playoffs, because you're going to see the top defenseman for every team every time you're out there. And I worry about the Devils in the same range here. You can shut Hall down. You know, so he's going to be a great regular season player. Playoffs will be a problem, yeah. But fantasy-wise, I would ask, why are you trading Hall? I mean, really, what are you seeing here that I'm not seeing? That he's going to play well over the next 2 months? So, yes, to answer your question, if someone's trading me Hall, I will absolutely listen. I would love to acquire him.
Yeah, the only situation I can see where someone's trading Hall is probably somebody who is concerned about his health a little bit. I mean, you spoke of the injury right leading up to the All-Star break. He had knee surgery last year. And I think in some ways people still maybe think of, you know, of that time he spent in Edmonton, in spite of the fact that there was some really good years in that, as, you know, Taylor Hall is a bust as a number one overall pick, so maybe he's not all that good. Which I think is extremely short-sighted. I mean, you're absolutely correct. The Devils have gone from, what, the worst team, among the worst in the league last year, to in the first wild card spot. you know, they're only a minus three differential, which is surprisingly pretty good in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like. I mean, what's not to like is that, yeah, there's not a lot of talent around him. So if he's not playing well, he's not going to accumulate a lot of stats. But, you know, for a guy that is doing what he's doing, yeah, you're certainly going to hear out that trade. That's for sure, unless they're asking for something very significant in return.
Yeah, but I'll always listen. I'm the kind of guy that in my fantasy leagues, no one's untradeable. I don't care who it is. If I have Connor McDavid, he's tradable. Crosby, tradable. Kucherov, sure, I'll listen. I'll always listen. If someone wants to overpay, I'm always willing on trade requests. It's fun. It's what we play fantasy because to trade, it is a fun time to do. So if someone wants to trade with Taylor Hall because they're worried, which means maybe I get a little bit of a discount as well, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not worried. He's done it all season long. Yes, he had that little injury. What was more important to me is not only wasn't the injury long term, but then he came back and played so well right away. It didn't take him 4 or 5 games where he was lost or trying to get back in hockey shape, trying to get back in the flow of things. Came right back and started, you know, hit his game in stride of not having the best little stretch of the season here. I'm not worried about Taylor Hall. Devils are going to have to play hard throughout the stretch to make the playoffs. You mentioned currently after tonight's win, they are in the first wild card position. So it's not like they're in 14th place and there's nothing going on here. No one's going to care. Devils may even add at the deadline. Maybe they add another piece, get another offensive piece, get like an Evander Kane to play with Hall. Unlikely, but it wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a team that's in a position to make a move. And I can't think of, at least given their current position, why they wouldn't. I mean, when you look at, you know, they need top six forward depth, to put it lightly. You know, I don't think anyone, like, what are you going to get from Jasper Bratt and Pavel Zacha and Nick Lappin in a playoff series? I mean, Pavel Zacha certainly could be a fine player, but I don't know if you're willing to rely on him at that point. I could definitely see them probably shifting things around, moving Travis Zajac up into one of those lines to try to add some more punch. But yeah, definitely lots of room on this. All of that being said, I mean, the Devils aren't going anywhere if Corey Schneider is not healthy, because Keith Kincaid, I don't think, is going to get it done long term.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you there. Corey Schneider, the Devils already announced they did us a favor earlier this week, telling us he wasn't going to be on the ice this week, which means your best case scenario, if he gets on the ice on Mondays, he misses half of next week too. And if I'm a fantasy player, unless you're in a daily lineup league, if I'm in a weekly lineup league, Schneider sits next week as well. Groin injury, he's got a hip injury as well, but groin injuries always scare the life out of me for a goaltender because I just don't think it's something you ever know is healthy until they get into a game. Because they're not in practice, they're just not going to make those explosive movements from post to post. And that's where you really feel the injury. You could re-injure it. You don't know until you get in a game situation, get that kind of adrenaline flowing. And it's such an easy injury to hurt again and then be out another 4 weeks. So you're absolutely right. Devils aren't going anywhere without Schneider. And let's be honest here. They're not going in Schneider either. I mean, it's nice story. They might make the playoffs and great. I don't want to hear tweets from Devil fans. All right. Nice story. Good for you. You make the playoffs, but come on, you know, odds are you're playing what you have first wild card. That means you're playing what Washington. Good luck to you. Yeah. I'm sure you'll beat them in a 7-game series.
Yeah. In some ways for the Devils organization, this year is going to be a bit of a curse. Cause they don't have the depth. They don't have unless they're going to go out and be big, you know, try to do big things in free agency. This is a team that's probably more apt to not make the playoffs next year than they are to make it. When you consider some of the underperformers that are sitting below them in the standings right now in teams like, you know, Florida, who's really suffered from the loss of, from the players that they handed to the Golden Knights. In Jonathan Marchessault and the other Riley, and his last name is escaping me at the moment. But they essentially gave up 50 or 60 goals to the Golden Knights this year. I mean, Montreal, if they can ever figure out how to score, they can maybe make use of the prime years of Carey Price's career. you know, the Islanders, if they can find a goalie, they're certainly a contender to consider. And, you know, Columbus has been quite a bit of a disappointment so far this year as well. So I think it could be a bit of a mirage for Devils fans this year, because, I mean, like, I don't know if you can expect Taylor Hall to do everything and Corey Snyder to stand on his head for that much of a year to keep this moving forward. And you're going to need some luck in the draft to keep this building and allow that team to become a contender, because I don't think they're there right now. And I'm not sure they're going to be there in the next few years either.
I would agree. I mean, I think they have some nice building pieces in place. You know, Corey Schneider, I think, is a better goalie than probably given for Taylor Hall, top-notch for an elite forward, but top-notch. Hischier, once again, could be – maybe he will be that player eventually. But the Devils, they have some work to do. This has been a stepping stone season, and they're heading in the right direction. I think if you were a Devils fan, sucks for you, that, you know, that's good. It's good news for you that you're heading in the right direction. It's really all you can ask. At least the organization seems to have some stability now, and I think that's a good thing. But as far as the playoffs are concerned, I'd be shocked. Assuming they do get in, that wouldn't shock me if they get in. But assuming they do get in, I'd be shocked if they aren't one and done.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see any way that they are not out in the first round, given the prospects of playing either most likely Tampa or Washington. So. Next guy we have to talk about tonight is Alex Goligoski. Kind of among those many forgotten folks down in Arizona. For defenseman, he put up 6 points in 4 games last week. He's available in most leagues. Is he a guy that you're looking to go pick up right now?
Yes. I mean, once again, depends upon your defensive depth. I'm somebody when it comes to the defense that I generally wait forever in my defenseman. So and I'm always interchanging guys depending on what I sort of depends on what kind of league you play in. But I have my defenseman once plus minus. Once again, depends on what categories you have in your league, time on ice, that sort of thing. So go again. I mean, he's a better once. I think you said it perfectly. We sort of forget it, guys that play in the also ran teams like. Arizona Coyotes, team that's not going to the playoffs again. You know, what we wonder about the Coyotes, will they trade Ekman Larson this year? You know, so I think we do sort of forget about someone like Goligoski. D1, oh, he's probably not even a D2, but he's a D4. The only issue is, I like to have my defensive characters. I'm not saying it's all his fault, team's bad. So you have to be really good with your plus. To pick someone like him on. Power play, only 8 points. You know, he's not going to add a lot there. So he's a guy, like I said, I use my defense with certain categories. I watch. Am I good? Realize that, you know, he's probably going to be a -1 every other night on average. So I'm going to need to be able to withstand that hit there. So it's always smart to look in your league, know what categories you're good in, what categories you're not. Maybe you're where you are on plus minus, you're not going up or down. Doesn't matter. You know, you're stuck in that slot. So, hey, therefore, even better for – but if you can lose 3 points in plus minus and only gain one in, I don't know, whatever category you're looking for, goals, then you probably want to look in a different direction.
Yeah, for sure. And Goligoski is a guy that I think is worth picking up right now for the sake of prospecting. Offensive defensemen are quite often picked up at the trade deadline. And he's a guy that's been around and he's – you know, playoff tested. So I think there's some reason to think that he would be a guy that teams would pursue. Not going to cost them a whole lot. And you could find Goligoski suddenly going from a really bad situation in Phoenix to a really good situation for a playoff team that's in need of an offensive defenseman to round out their power play unit or to match up on their, you know, second or third pair.
Yeah, defensemen can be tough. They really can because obviously unless you get one of the truly elite guys, we don't know what they're going to do game in and game out here. I know I wondered for a while at one point if the Coyotes could possibly trade Goligoski to a better team that might make him more valuable, but he's in the middle of a five-year contract that's paying him $5-plus million a year. He's not going anywhere. He's stuck in Arizona. As much as I think he's a decent defenseman that could help a playoff team in the NHL, I just don't see anybody wanting to take on that contract, especially not during, not mid-season. Maybe they could work in the offseason. So I don't think he's going to go to, let's say, Pittsburgh, for anybody who thinks that might happen, or Toronto. I don't see that happening. He's stuck with Arizona. Like I said, I don't mind having him, but he's a guy I got to be very wary of my plus-minus, because I, you know, generally, once again, for me personally, generally my plus-minus is something I do have to be wary of. But it's not going to be great because I wait too long. You know, it's gory. Expect to do well. And so like stolen bases in baseball, I'm not drafting for it. I don't draft a plus minus, same thing. So I just don't want to finish at the bottom of the standings in plus minus. I want to finish in the middle of the pack here. That's why I'd be very careful about Goligoski.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely a fair point. I mean, he's minus 21 at this moment in time. So unless you've got somebody who's on the high end on the other side, yeah, it's definitely going to be a concern if you're using plus minus in your league. But yeah, I mean, if I like to think in most fantasy sports league, the bottom 10 to 20% of your league should be made up of churn. And, you know, if you can get guys like this while they're hot, they can be difference makers down the road, especially. And, you know, he cools off, you maybe drop him to pick up whomever's next, provided that whomever's next is actually available.
I think one thing we also have to remember with Arizona is that they're not going to get any better. They will try some players at the deadline. I don't think Goligoski will be one of them. But, you know, Ekman-Larsson could be dealt. That should be dealt if they get the offer they want here. Certainly any veteran that's on that doesn't have term could be moved. Maybe Max Domi could possibly be moved, which is somewhat of a surprise. So that minus 21 could easily be minus 35 by the end of the season.
Yeah, or maybe even worse. Mind you, the Coyotes are hot right now. But, it's whatever. Things aren't going to be bright this year, and they're still probably a couple ways, years away from doing anything that's worth noting. So, last guy we've got here of the initial players is Devan Dubnyk. Devan Dubnyk was absolutely fantastic last week. .950 save percentage, led all goalies in that period in saves. What do you think about Devan Dubnyk? He seems to be kind of a forgotten man out in Minnesota, but he seems to be pretty solid in most cases.
Yeah, I think solid is the correct word to use there. I think coming into the season, we wanted more out of him. Dubnyk's, I guess the word on him has been first two-thirds of the season, since going to Minnesota, first two-thirds of the season, he's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, maybe the best. Then the last third, not so much. The wheels have come off there. You know, maybe because he's not used to starting, getting a full load here, whatever it might be. You know, in 15, 16, and 16, 17 with Minnesota, the last third, last 6 to 8 weeks, he wasn't good, which, of course, the fantasy owners was a concern because that's our fantasy playoffs. You know, we sort of need you to perform there. And he didn't. You know, for whatever reason, maybe the team as a whole wasn't performing well in front of him. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is he didn't. This season, it's sort of been ho-hum. Been hurt, you know, a couple of times. Stalock's well there. His numbers, 2.59 goals against average, .920 save percentage, are solid. Nothing wrong with those numbers. I think I would have taken them beginning of the season. But, you know, not the .225 he had last season, .233 the year before. Same percentage is pretty much right in line. He was .923 last year, .920. That's fine. You can live with that. But goals against have gone up by about 0.4 of a point. That's not with. It's like I said, it's not terrible. He probably is getting overlooked because he hasn't been as spectacular as he was in the past. You know, he has 4 shutouts this season. That's right in line with what he's done, too. Only 5 last year, 5 the year before that. So he seems to either be great or maybe not so great. And I think that's what concerns him more. But bottom line is, as you said, he is playing well. Maybe, you know, he was hurt more than we thought, and now he's just getting over it. Now just starting to feel 100%. I also want this. You know, I mentioned it. Since going to Minnesota, first of the season, great. Last third, not so good. Maybe this injury is a blessing, or the injury was a blessing in disguise. It gave him some rest mid-season. You know, maybe he'll now be stronger over the next last 2 months of the season here, and be strong in your fantasy playoffs. So, you know, he's somebody However, I might do exactly the opposite. If you would have asked me in October or September when we drafted, Dubnyk would have been someone I was drafting, then looking to trade at the deadline, assuming he would play well again over the final third. I think I'm starting to change my mind here because of what I said before. I think now that injury might be a good thing because you got more rest midseason. I now might look to acquire him for somebody who was thinking or is thinking like I was, that he's not going to play well over the last third because his history tells us he won't here. So if I can, once again, if I can get him at a price that I like, I'd be looking to acquire Dubnyk.
Yeah, I mean, Dubnyk was a guy at the start of the year that I looked past. And I think largely in my case, it was because of kind of his track record when I think of him as an Oiler. And, you know, his time in Minnesota, you know, he played a lot of games the last 2 years, 65 games last year, 67 the year before. Almost all of those starts. But in some ways, I think he does get unfairly discounted. Like getting a 920 save percentage is really nice to have. Like, in most cases, I think a lot of teams are holding guys that are probably at 9-10 or lower. So in that case, like especially in a roto league where it doesn't necessarily matter, you know, if he's terrible for the last third of the season, you know, you'll be disappointed because you thought you were going to get more. But at the same time, if he still finishes the year probably at, you know, 9-18 or 9-17 with a good number of wins, playing behind, you know, behind a team with Bruce Boudreau as the coach, you know that they're going to score goals. So the chances for wins are always going to be there as long as he is playing well enough. So I see that as a nice point for him to buy. And I think that's largely why he was able to get 40 wins last year. And in some cases, I suppose, if you look at the numbers, you could say that this is possibly a career year if you kind of throw away the goals against. The save percentage was a little bit higher last year, but there's still lots of room for that to grow in the last 6 weeks this year. So I'm definitely in on Dubnyk if anyone's looking to move him at this time of year.
Absolutely. Let me know. Send me an email. I mean, I would assume Dubnyk is better than most people's second goaltender. You know, our top goaltender may be better, but Dubnyk, like I said, I don't think he gets as much. Maybe because it's Minnesota, we don't. You know, it's not Pittsburgh, it's not the top team. You know, Rangers, someone like that, where we know the name. And I think the injuries have sort of zapped some of his luster. And I'll say it again: I think the fact that the last two, a lot of fantasy owners, when it mattered, you know, when we're trying to win our championship, he didn't come through for us. And I think, you know, a lot of us have long memories and we're angry people. We blame we blame players when we think that they cost us a championship. So that hurts his reputation in the end.
Yeah, I mean that's very true. We do hold that bias, whether we should or not. And often it does lead us to stay away from players that have burnt us in the past. So but at this point I don't think I have much more to add on Dubnyk. So I think we can move forward into what I think of as my favorite part of the show, where I let my special guest take the reins a little bit and we talk about their favorite team. George, in your case, it's the Islanders. So let's start with what's happening with John Tavares and what's going to take for him to sign that big deal to stay on Long Island.
Well, the Tavares situation is extremely curious because he hasn't wanted to talk about a contract this whole season. Some assume that, okay, they had to get a new arena, get that settled. Okay, that seems to have been settled. But I don't know how much that has to do with anything. Mainly because, yes, the Islanders are going to play at Belmont Racetrack or they'll have they're going to have a building there, but it's not going to be there for three seasons. You know, so by the time that's there, Tavares is now 30. You know, so does he want to play three more years schlepping back between Nassau Coliseum or whatever they call it now? Barnes, you know, I mean, whatever money he wants, he can get from any team. That's not going to be a problem. You know, whatever team he wants, there'll be a lot of suitors out there willing to pay him. And I said, I am an Islander fan, but I'm also a realist here. If I'm John Tavares, I'm not playing here. I'm just not. You know, why would I want to go through that? Play at the Coliseum, play at Barclays, no idea. You have no real home. Until it's there. Yeah, I said, I can get the same money from anywhere. The team is not, this is not going anywhere. Right, it's run badly. You know, Garth Snow is a joke. And, you know, unless I, my family's from here, which is, as far as I know, it's not. I mean, I don't know who he's dating. But, you know, maybe his wife is dating someone and serious and she's from here. Okay, I can see that being enough. But I don't see anything that really keeps him here, other than maybe possibly the fan base and how much he likes playing here. But the more and more I think about it, I mean, if he wanted to play here, it'd be done. His agent would have to make one call to Snow. They've said they'll pay him pretty much whatever he wants to stay here. So why hasn't he done it already? What is he waiting for? The arena situation is all but settled. So what is he waiting for? You know, so I think that's my that's my issue here. What's going on here? Garth Snow had better pray, because Garth Snow has already stated that he's not going to trade Snow by the 26th. That's what the deadline is. And I don't mind that. But then if you're Garth Snow, you better be damn sure that he is re-signing with you. Because if you let him go for nothing, you know, the Islanders don't make the playoffs this season, which seems unlikely they'll make it, and you let Tavares go, you didn't get any draft picks, you didn't get any prospects or top-notch players, I mean, you've killed this organization for years to come now. So it's extremely intriguing, the fact that Tavares hasn't signed and Snow says he's not trading him. Like that, Snow may know. You know, maybe he's already heard from the agent, yeah, we're going to sign here, but it'd be after the season. We don't want to have any interruptions during the season. Maybe he knows that. And if he does, that's fine. That's his job. But if he, you know, if he's rolling the dice here and he comes up craps and he loses Tavares for nothing and they don't make the playoffs, good luck to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll make the case for why he signs it with the Islanders. The first one being, there's a lot of markets that he could go to, specifically in Canada, where everyone would know who he's dating. Like if he goes to Toronto or Montreal, everyone will know who he's dating all the time. He gets to live in that obscurity, I think, with playing for the Islanders. The second is, will ultimately where he moves to be a better situation as far as talent around him goes? I mean, I know he's largely responsible for the production of guys like Anders Lee and Josh Bailey. But it's not a, like the top six for the Islanders, it certainly isn't bad by any means. And I mean, I look at this roster and I think, you know, they're probably, I mean, they're definitely at least, I mean, you got to start a goalie. You're going to need someone that's going to, you know, keep you in games and allow you to win. And probably, you know, a forward or two away from, I mean, this team's not that far away from being a contender with him on the roster. With him off the roster, I don't think Matthew Barzal is ready to be a number one. I mean, the 59 points, 58 games is great, but that's going to be a different story when he's, or it could potentially be a different story on the top line. So I mean, maybe this turns out to be a Steve Stamkos type of situation where maybe John's just looking to go out there and be courted by other teams, but ultimately at the end of the day, lets him know that the grass isn't going to be greener on the other side. So it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. Personally, I think he's going to be with the Islanders, and it's going to be probably that 7 years at, you know, 11 or 12 million a year to make sure that he stays. I guess that's how I see it from this side.
Well, I think most people from the outside do see it the same way. And I said, I have nothing that tells me he's going to leave, other than the fact that why hasn't he signed? And like I said, the Islanders, they're all for the money. You mentioned the price range you mentioned is the exact what we all heard, 784. You know, 7 years, 12 million. It's 84 of the life of the contract. He can get that from anywhere. So the money's not really an issue, because the Islanders will give the same amount of money as he can from anyone. The question is, where does he want to play? Is he waiting to see what moves they'll make at the deadline to see if they're going to be, you know, a competitive in the near future? I mean, you mentioned it. They don't have a goalie. You know, their defense is playing horrific this season. What have they let up? More than 35 shots now and something like 23 last 24 games. It's silly what they're doing here. They have two number one picks next year. Maybe he wants to see Snow package them for a better player this season. But you're not going to get a goaltender in there, not this year. You know, I don't know if you're going to get a goaltender for next year. You know, the Islanders keep waiting for Ilya Sorokin to come out of the KHL. Granted, from what we've seen of the guy, what we heard of the guy, he looks like could be a top NHL goaltender, but he doesn't want to leave the KHL. Mainly because he's getting paid there. He comes here, he won't make as much money. He'd actually have taken a decrease in pay. Or maybe he doesn't want to come to North America with a culture change. But it's a huge issue for the Islanders is goaltending. Halak won't be back next year. We know that. Thomas Greece will be, and that's unfortunate because he's pretty much a garbage can in net. So the Islanders have they have their issues, but they've had them for decades now. As I go back to the watching the Islanders in the 70s and 80s and the Stanley Cup years. You know, this organization has been a joke for 20 years at least. I mean, in my mind, as far as that's concerned, and the top five worst. I'm a baseball, football, hockey guy. Islanders are easily one of the top five worst-run organizations in sports. They've gotten better, but it's still a work in progress here. And I just don't see a reason for Tavares to stay, other than he's been here, he's comfortable here, and maybe he doesn't want to move. But if that's true, why hasn't he signed?
Yeah, and I think that's a question no one can really answer, right? Outside of probably him and his agent. Yeah, I mean, certainly lots of speculation that can be made there. Let's talk about, I guess, the next, what might be the next big thing for the Islanders, and that's Matthew Barzal. Certainly has been a revelation this year. No one, I can't imagine anyone was expecting this kind of production from him. How much do you, like, are you buying into this moving forward? Can he be a number one if Tavares leaves?
Can he be a number one? I mean, he definitely gets some benefits being a number two. Teams aren't paying as much attention to him. They are now because the kid is good. The kid can skate, and he can skate like the wind. He's probably one of the biggest shocks this year. Everybody knew he had talent. But remember, he couldn't stick with the Islanders last year. He was making a lot of mistakes on the 9-game tryout before they sent him back to juniors. This year, I mean, he had 3 more assists tonight, 3 more points tonight. When he's on his game, he's on his game. And he's even going to be better. Because I'm the Islander fan. I watch all the Islander games. When he starts to shoot more and stops passing, I mean, my God, he's going to be extremely dangerous. Because right now, everyone's playing the pass. No one can skate with him. Yeah, he just can't. There are very few players in the NHL who can skate with him. He can stop on a dime and he turns. It's just amazing what he can do. He's fun to watch. Once he learns to shoot the puck and keep defenses truly honest, I think he'll score more goals. You know, this season he's on pace to score probably in the low 20s. I think he will be a 30-goal scorer eventually. To answer your question, you know, he's 6'190". That's what he's listed as. That's probably generous. You know, I think you might want to take, I think he's a little smaller than 6', and probably closer to 170 than 190. So no, long season, no. I don't think he's not for center. I think he'd have some problems there. So I think he'd still be a very good, you know, but I don't think if you're the Islanders, you'd much rather have as a number two center than a number one. It makes sure you have two dynamic lines. You'll score goals. The Islanders have a problem doing the season. They just can't keep him out of their net. He still does make mistakes. I don't know how much play he got nationally, but last Sunday he was benched for parts of the third period versus Calgary because of some defensive mistakes. Again, the Islanders ended up losing, and Waite was actually taken to task by the media because Bob Barzal wasn't out there in a one-goal loss. But Waite said, you know, he made some mistakes, and he did. He gave away the puck several times, so Waite punished him. I don't think if he was Tavares, he wouldn't have punished him. I think he was trying to make a point with Barzal. Which sounds silly, but, you know, sometimes for a younger player, you have to do that. Bottom line is, I think Barzal is the real deal. I think he's one of the more fun players to watch in the NHL because in this day and age, you know, without the clutching, without the grabbing, or at least not as much of each, including the slashing, if players who can skate have a big advantage, and this kid can skate.
Yeah, I mean, he's 20, right? He's going to make mistakes. All that's expected, and I think that falls kind of under what I'd mentioned earlier in the show about Mitch Marner, right? I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, and that's the kind of game hockey is. Hockey is still largely, unlike some other sports, a game where the coach has a lot of control, and the players don't necessarily rule the roost the same way that they do in other sports. So you do tend to see things like this, and it's generally for the benefit of the player, right? They need to understand that whatever, you know, late in games, you can't be giving the puck up. And in the case of, you know, if it was Tavares, yeah, he probably wouldn't have been benched because at this point, you know, you don't have a better option. So at least when it comes to Barzal, you can say, like, look, we're putting you on the bench, but we're going to play Tavares. I mean, they've got some other veteran guys there, you know, guys like Andrew Ladd who can, you know, fill in some of that space. Certainly, obviously, not to the same talent extent, but it's there's certainly plenty of veterans on this team to help round things out. As far as the defense core goes this year, it's been a struggle. Calvin Hanzo only played 33 games, and I think that's been probably part of the issue this year. Any concerns about Calvin DeHaan moving forward? He seems to still be a steady, you know, steady top line or top pairing, stay at home kind of guy.
Well, that's kind of funny because when they drafted him, they didn't draft him for that. He was known as the guy who would carry the puck out of the zone, more offensive minded than defense minded. But you're right, he ended up being a solid defensive, not really a top pairing, more of a 3-4 guy. The problem is that this is now his third surgery on shoulders. Yeah, so he's not big. That's the problem. So he's taking a pounding, and his body doesn't seem to be able to handle it. Once again, that's 200. That's probably generous. You know, so I don't think he's size here. Garth Snow made a point of saying just what you did. Oh, you know, when DeHaan went down, all of a sudden our defense went down. It's funny. If you look at it, that's actually not the case. Defense is pretty bad all year. So that I thought that was kind of intriguing. The thing is this. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So I don't know back with the Islanders because the way Garth Snow made it sound, well, he should get a $10 million contract because he's the best defenseman on the planet. You know, Garth Snow actually helped the agent. Thinking about it, it was idiotic what Snow was saying. Even if he believed that, you don't say it. Because if you're going to go into negotiations, guess what that agent's going to bring up? Well, you said he was your best defenseman, and that's why your defense went down the crapper. So intriguing that that would happen. So I don't know if DeHaan's back with the Islanders next year. I probably wouldn't sign him because I think he's going to get, realistically, probably closer to $5 million a year, maybe over 4 years. So he's talking $22 million. I don't know if I want that for a guy who's already had three surgeries on the shoulders, a guy who I don't think can play 82 games a season. You know, I think he's going to have some issues here. So I expect him to move on. And as bad as the Islanders' defense has been this season, and it has, but some of their best prospects are defensemen. You know, Devin Hayes is down in the minor leagues, and he's expected to be a top, maybe a top two defenseman. He's also out for the rest of the – well, I don't know about the rest of the season, but he's also out after undergoing – I believe it was also shoulder surgery. So they lost him. And that's an issue there. But, you know, you got Mayfield, you got Pulak, Letty and Boychuk aren't going anywhere. They're signed forever. Pelich, that's already five defensemen, you know. And I don't know if you want to sign anybody more. And I'm not even counting someone like Sebastian Aho, who's with the team now. So I just don't know if it makes sense to sign DeHaan to a long-term contract. Now, with everybody you already have, because I already named six guys. Do you really need to sign someone for $5 million to eat up that money against the cap? You know, and the Islanders could have some cap issues. Yeah, you know, because once again, Tavares is going to get that $12 million a year, whatever it is. They will save some money with Halak leaving, but they're also going to have to sign a goaltender. So my best guess is DeHaan has played his last game with the Islanders.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, looking at their defense core, I mean, I guess it's going to be a bit of an understatement to say that the Islanders have struggled to develop their defensemen. When I look at guys like Thomas Hickey, Ryan Pulak, Calvin DeHaan, these are all first round draft picks that have largely not met the potential that they were drafted to meet. Pulak, I think, is a 2013 draft pick. I mean, he's had some good weeks, or at the very least one really good game. He fits a better size profile to stand up at the very least. Do you like what you've seen from Pulak so far?
Well, part of the Islanders' problem as far as their defensemen have been concerned, and really this is, I guess you could say this is a problem with a lot of teams, is they were afraid to play them. You know, they just were afraid to play them when they could have slowly put them in there. And this year, they have to play them all because they've suffered so many injuries. You know, losing DeHaan, they lost Boychuk for a while. They've had a couple of other injuries here and there that these guys have all had to play. You know, Pelich, Mayfield, Pulak, they've all had to go in there and play. So, Aho, and that's been an issue here. Young defensemen, they're sort of learning on the job. And not what you want, but that's what the Islanders have right now. Islander fans, including me, we've been calling for Pulak to play for a couple of years. You know, that he should have been in there. This way he could have learned, but they waited and waited and waited until they had no choice but to play him 20 minutes a game, and that's probably too much for him right now. You would have liked to put these guys along slowly. Pulak's game has improved. I mean, you could see it in the way he plays. He's got a rocket of a shot. Always did. We know that. You know, 5 goals, 13 assists in 44 games. He's fine. He's a little bit more on the first power play unit now, but he wasn't for a while. He's only a minus five. When you think about it, with all the Islanders' problems, to only be a minus five for Pulak is impressive. You know, so I think he is playing better, and I think he won't be a top pairing. But I think eventually he could be a fourth defenseman, second line defenseman, and a guy you could play on your power play, your top power play unit because of the rocket shot.
Yeah, I mean, things look positive moving forward. He's in getting top six, or he's sitting in the top four rather, which is nice considering that he's, you know, there are guys like Dennis Seidenberg who are more well vetted than he is. So he's definitely getting the opportunity right now. I mean, the same with kind of Adam Pelich. It's kind of maybe an unexpected pairing considering they're both fairly unseasoned. And they, I mean, from a size standpoint, they actually look almost identical. They're both, you know, 6'2", 220-pound guys. That's seems odd that way, that I would have expected Hickey and Seidenberg probably to be the 3-4, but I mean, I guess that's how it works out. As far as, you know, when it comes to the Islanders, we've talked about the goalie problem. You know, you've got Halak, who's seeing at times, what would you say, 35 shots for like eight straight games, which certainly doesn't lead to long-term goalie results, but can be a nice benefit to your fantasy team if you're counting saves as a stat. I guess you referenced Thomas Grice as a trash can. So do you see the Islanders making a move to improve their goalie situation at the deadline? Or do you think they're going to hold pat on that?
Not at the deadline. I mean, if you look over the course of, take any kind of time period you want, over the last 10 years, you can count on one hand the number of goalies who have changed at the deadline. And listen, even in the offseason, it's difficult, mainly because the teams that have the goalie always want more than the teams that need the goalie are willing to give up. You know, that's why you just don't see goalies move, not top-notch goalies. And let's face it, I mean, what goalies do we know is on the trade market right now? Leonard with Buffalo, Chad Johnson with Buffalo. Oh, yay. Are they any better than Halak? Not really. Yeah. Mrazek with Detroit? That is an interesting name, but he also comes with some baggage. The reason why Detroit is willing to move him is, A, he hasn't played as well as he once did, but also because he has attitude problems. Do you want to bring that into your locker room? You know, so that's the problem here. Any goalie you're taking on is going to have issues. Plus, Mrazek also, he could be a free agent at the end of the year as well. So you only get a two. Is he really better than what you have? His GA goes against average is three. Same percentage is 906. I mean, that same percentage is worse than Halak's. So I think, you know, you can make an argument. The Islanders might be more on the line of getting trading Halak away, you know, than really taking on a goaltender if the Islanders don't believe they're in a playoff hunt in 2 weeks. Because there may be a team like Philadelphia. I just thought Brian Elliott could be interested in someone like Halak. It wouldn't cost much. The Islanders would probably be happy to save $1 million over the rest of the season on his contract, and you move on from there. So, no, I don't think the Islanders, if according to Garf Snow, I mean, he's not going to spend any kind of he doesn't want to trade his draft picks, doesn't want to trade prospects. Well, if you're not going to do that, then you're not really going to take on any talent. You know, what are you going to trade players on from the team? Okay, I think he'd be willing to trade Brock Nelson. You know, we've heard that. You know, but what's that going to bring you back? I mean, that's the thing. What's that going to bring you back? So as far as a goaltender, no, I don't think there's anybody right now that's better, or at least demonstrably better, than what the Islanders already have in Halak. You know, do I think they get a better backup? Sure, but how does that help? So, no, I expect the Islanders to roll with Halak for the rest of the season and then pray that they get Sorokin out of the KHL, which I don't think they can, or they'll have to make a move in free agency and find somebody else. But as the Islanders have proven in the past, this has not worked. Halak, no. Nabokov, no. Chris Osgood, he was okay, but nothing great. You know, they haven't been able to develop a homegrown goaltender, and it's been a problem now for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, I guess you have to hope that he's not trying to make a case for himself to come back and play goal, because that was never all that successful either.
He had the greatest illegal pads in history. You remember those pads?
I do, yeah.
He had the one where, when he went down, also those pads expanded. It's like the wings of a phoenix. I mean, it's amazing how much he was cheating in that. Good for him. Hey, you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of if they're going to make a move for a goalie, the guys that are available, yeah, I mean, they're not going to be like, is Ryan Miller going to be worth bringing in? He's 37. I mean, I can't think of, I mean, I'm not sure that's going to be much of an upgrade. There's also the really good chance that Anaheim wouldn't be moving him anyways, given John Gibson's general inability to stay healthy. I mean, those are the kind of guys, like, are you going to bring in Craig Anderson? Essentially, it's like, which one of these 37-year-old goalies do you want to bring in to see if they can fill the gap for you? And in no case is that necessarily reassuring. I mean, Sorokin is maybe a nice roll of the dice because I think there's no guarantee that he's going to be great. I mean, he's got nice numbers in the KHL, but I feel like sometimes there's a reason why these guys don't want to come over, and some of it's culture difference. Not necessarily certain that would be a big deal in New York City. I think there's enough of a Russian population that you can blend in there. I think some of it's just, do I need to upheave my life? The money's a big factor. Just looking at his goals against, I'm sure if you're an Islanders fan, that his current 1.58 and 930 save percentage would look pretty nice in goal right now.
I think an Islanders fan would take a 2.58 with a 930. We'd be thrilled. I mean, you've heard of Sorokin, and I think he's put it perfectly. He's doing fine where he is. He's happy with the family. He makes good money. He'd probably have to take a small cut in pay until he proved himself in the NHL. And unless most players we hear, they want to come over because they want to play for the cup. They want to prove themselves against the best in the world. But I think sometimes we forget, as both fans, fantasy people, to put ourselves in that player situation. I mean, maybe, I'd be all thrilled about leaving my family. I don't know if he has a wife and kids. Leaving my kids when I really don't have to. I make a very good living. Never got to worry about money. Family's happy where we are. Want to move to another country? That's a huge move here. And I have to prove myself all over again where he's a star, where he is. So I get it. So I see things. I'm more of a realist when I look at these things. I try not to think as a fan as much. But I get it. I hold no ill will towards him. As an Islander fan, yes, I think he would solve some problems. But you also said it. There's no guarantee he'd be anywhere near that good. We don't know what he'd be in the NHL. The NHL is the best league in the world. Better players, better shooters, better passers. Maybe he's not that gut goalie. Maybe that concerns him. That he wouldn't be that player here. So I think a lot of these concerns are legit. But, I don't know if it's hope he comes. But I think that's, as far as preparing for a team, I think if he comes, great. But you have to assume he's not. I think if I'm Garv Snow, whoever GM is, I have to assume he's not coming. And I have to either trade for a goalie at the deadline, which I don't think will be possible, or I got to figure it out either in free agency or make a trade during the offseason. Because right now, goaltending to me is like quarterback in football. It's the two most important positions in sports. If you don't have one, you're not going to win.
Yep. I mean, I think if I'm Garv Snow, I'm probably just going to go ahead and try to spend – I'm going to spend my – Here, the two things I need to get done this summer. One, sign John Tavares. If that one doesn't happen, you might as well just go and find the unemployment line as it is, because I can't imagine if you've ever needed a reason to get rid of them, and I'm certain that there's been many by now, that's going to be the last straw, right? The fan base is certainly going to revolt at that point in time, because you have a top 5 to 10 player in the league and you weren't able to re-sign him no matter how much money you put at him. But I think after that, item two is I'm getting on that plane and I'm going to Russia and I'm finding a translator and I'm finding some way to get this guy to come over, because I mean, that's your path forward. I mean, if you got to throw, if you got to pay him the same amount or more, I think you go ahead and do it. Like, you got to find some way to entice this guy to come and play for you. As you stated, you're not winning without it, and you don't have something better sitting around anywhere else. And it's not like you can go and draft a goalie, this year or really any other year that's going to come in and make an immediate impact for you. Like, is your best case trying to, what, pry Malcolm Subban out of Golden Knights? That's probably going to be tough to do. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like those have to be the priorities for the Islanders this offseason.
And the scary part is, guess what? Those were the priorities last offseason. Same too, along with the arena.
Yep.
That's not a joke. I'm not making fun. I've done Islander previews before. The top three Islander things to do before the season started, last offseason, was sign John Tavares, a goaltender, and the arena. All right, you got the arena, then with Gar Snow. You didn't sign Tavares, and you still don't have a goaltender. You said if the Islanders don't sign Tavares, they will be, I mean, forget Gar Snow. I think the organization will have a revolt on its hands. All the goodwill they would have gotten from the arena, that they found their own arena here, will all be forgotten about. That's why it's so important for the ownership to sign Tavares. No, don't get me wrong. I'll say this again. If Tavares doesn't want to sign here, no matter what you do, then you can't blame any of these guys. But they better pray that's the reason, because the fans here are angry. They're fed up for a lot of reasons. Mainly, it's a lot of anger at Gar Snow because the team, it's stagnant. And he should not have come out and said, he should just sit and do a press conference because he says too many stupid things, saying that he wasn't going to trade off, he wasn't going to upgrade a team at the deadline. You don't say things like that. Even if it's true, don't say it. You know the fans are going to get angry here. And that's like pretty much blaming the whole season on injuries. I'm sorry, are the Islanders the only team that's had injuries this year? Lots of teams have had hurt. Let's face it, the injuries, Calvin DeHaan, really? Are you kidding me? Johnny Boychuk, okay, nice players, but it's not like we lost Tavares. You didn't lose Tavares, you didn't lose Barzal, and that's what's killing the team here. If losing DeHaan is why you're not making the playoffs, well, that's pretty much all I have to say about the job you've done as GM.
Yeah, I'm not really certain why exactly he is still the GM of this team, given that overall track record. You go up and down the free agent moves, and getting Eberle from Edmonton was a good move. Obviously, you're not going to fault him for drafting Barzal at 15. But I think there's a lot of warts there. It very much reminds me of the situation in Montreal, where it's actually the polar opposite, where you can keep the pucks out of your net, but you can't find a way to get them in the other. And a lot of this stuff falls down on if you don't draft well enough, you're not going to have the talent because it's not available to you in free agency. And I think, as far as I'd be concerned, I think even if there was no way you could get him to sign here, I feel like that comes back to the culture of your team, the culture of your organization. And if you failed to build that and to get, convinced, a top-notch player to play for you long-term, then, you've got clearly lots of things that you need to that need to get resolved. But I think...
It's tough. You did mention why Snow is still here. I've done a lot of digging on this, trying to find out why Snow is still here. And the only thing I could come up with, he has a... No one will say this. This is why I think this is the truth. I think his contract, I think Charles Wang sort of gave the Islanders a poison pill with this because he liked Snow so much for some reason. I don't know. Maybe Snow had naked pictures of blackmail. I have no idea. But I do wonder if this is the reason that his contract is such that it states, not only is he making a lot of money and not only is it a contract, but it states that he has to have player control. And the new ownership just didn't want to eat it because it's a running joke. Everybody knows Snow's done a pretty bad job as GM. Yes, he's made some good moves. Of course, not every move has been terrible, but he's made much more bad than good. A lot of the bad moves he's made, you've known as soon as it happens, what do you want? Andrew Ladd, how much money did you give over how many years? What are you doing? Halak, when they signed Halak, was like, really? An average goaltender coming off a couple of bad years, you decided to give that contract to? Thomas Greece had a couple of good games last year, you signed to a long-term contract. What are you doing? Most of us do that. It's the contract is long, gives and pill with the Islanders. It'd be a lot of money to get rid of them. But once again, new owners come in, you buy the team. Don't you want your own people in there? Don't you want someone who can make the team successful? The fans don't like him. Hell, they were chanting it the other day. Now that they're going to erect, this is a big thing down here today, is they want to erect a billboard they have close to Barclays, but Snow must go. And apparently they were going to do whatever, I guess they were getting donations for the billboard, and whatever overage they had, they wanted to name his charity. And Anderson, they couldn't accept that because of the board. So it actually caused a controversy down here about this. It's like, holy God. But that'd be my best guess. As far as why Snow was still with the Islanders is that his contract just makes it prohibit the Islanders to get rid of him. Silly. If you're looking for a couple hundred million dollars, how much could it possibly cost to get rid of Snow?
Yeah, you can't imagine the contract, man, couldn't have been that high. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's got to be something at play. Something in that contract that says you can't do it because, I don't know, ultimately at the end of the day, like, if you're talking about dollars and cents, that's taken care of by your fan base. And if you're, you know, if you're not, I mean, I guess you had a couple of playoff teams last, like, they've made the playoffs the last few years. So, I mean, I guess it gives you somewhat of a pass, but,
the only thing I can think of is that there's a clause in the contract, the poison pill, that states that if he loses player control, he gets $25 million. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Because other than that, it makes no sense why this team keeps him on. No one likes him. I mean, yeah. It's not like he's done it. Oh, the Islanders are a Stanley Cup contender each year in and year out. I mean, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is, like, when they come down to that moment where he gets called into the office and he's like, well, remember, I didn't trade Roberto Luongo, and I also didn't trade Jason Spezza and Dan O'Chara for...
Great,
for
so he's not as bad as Milbury.
So, well, with all of that being said, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Thanks again, George, for coming on. Really appreciate it. If you want to give another plug, let the listeners know where you can be found on social media and anything is that you're working on right now.
Sure. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at George Kurtz. I'm generally pretty good during any and all questions I get there. I said I work for Roto Experts, write columns depending on baseball, football, and hockey. Wrote a hot column yesterday. Tomorrow, actually, I've just been told I'm writing a baseball column about top 9 storylines for Sports Grid. You can find me on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Black Book. I do Inside Edge hockey podcast on for the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on Saturday afternoons around four to five. I have so many things on, I don't even know what times things go anymore. And the NHL Breakdown on Blog Talk Radio with Scott Levy from 2 to 3 Mondays and Fridays. I'm really not that fine.
And I believe that you're among the many people that are taking part in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational this year. Is that right?
Indeed I am. Yeah, we start drafting March 1st for that league. I think that actually might be my first real draft, other than NFBC league, stuff like that. But as far as regular redraft leagues, I think that's my first real draft, at least the first one that I've actually penciled in on the calendar. So looking forward to that. I love drafts. Drafts are like Christmas morning for our fantasy players, man. It's when we get to open up our gifts and we see what our teams look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that opening day is only 6 weeks away. So, again, I'm your host, Andrew K. You can find me on Twitter at Andrew K. Dewhurst, putting out a hockey column every week, putting out this hockey podcast every week. You can also find my baseball podcast on Mondays with Chuck Anderson and Justin Mason. As well, you can look forward to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits draft guide, which should be out in coming weeks. So for George and myself, have a great fantasy hockey season. Thank you.